said this morning's reading comes from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Sometimes on a starry night, on a clear night, when there's not too much light pollution, just about see the stars, but that's about as much of the bigger picture as you can get in Essex. You have to go to the Lake District or Peak District or to Scotland to see a few decent hills around. What is it about the hills that does us good? Because that's the backdrop, isn't it, to the meditation of the psalmist here. What is it about the hills that does us good? Well, I think the hills open us up to a new dimension. There's a bigness about the hills, a majesty about the mountains, which you can't get in a suburban garden. You get other things, nice birds and things like that. But majesty inspires awe. Now, I'm afraid that word awesome can be a bit misused nowadays, particularly by the younger generation. I saw this film and it was awesome. Well, the real meaning of awe is an overwhelming sense of wonder and respect in the presence of something or someone much greater than us. And I think that is the sense that we can get in the mountains. I'm just going to ask Mark to bring up a picture of an impressive mountain. Does anyone know what mountain that is? It's Everest. Yeah, but maybe it's K2 as well, I don't know. It's certainly Everest. A magnificent mountain. And then the next one, please, Lord. The next one, please, Lord.
It's getting there.
No, the next picture.
Yeah, it's getting there. Okay. We're on a slope laptop.
We're getting there. We're getting there. We'll just have to possess ourselves in patience. Patience is a virtue. I never knew it was going to cause this much trouble. No traffic, there's no hustle and bustle, no going to the shops, and maybe a slight sense of what is all that hustle and bustle about anyway. In the presence of the mountains, there's a sense of permanence, a sense even of eternity, maybe. In our man-made environment that we live in day by day, we're hemmed in by the works of men. But when you go to the hills, you see what God has made, what God has put in place. Now, would it be too tricky, Colin, to go back to him? Look at that, it's there straight away. What I'd like us to do, just for a moment, is to be quiet, just look at the picture of Everest, and just take in the scale and the wonder of what that is like. Now, when you lift up your eyes to the hills, you're reminded of things that go deep. And if we go on to Psalm 36, please, Colin. Yeah. The psalmist says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies, your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice is like the great deep." So the big things, the heavens, the mountains, the oceans, point to even bigger things beyond them, God's faithfulness, righteousness, and justice. And so the psalmist is saying, creation has a language, and it's speaking to us. It's speaking to us about the one who made it. It's speaking to us about the faithfulness and righteousness and justice of the God who put everything in place. There are some things that won't change with the weather. By the way, we haven't had much snow yet, have we? Just a sprinkling, just the tiniest bit. But the Friday before last, when there was that much snow on the roads, there was a complete logjam on the roads. It was appalling. Anyway, that's nothing to do with it. There are some things that won't change with the weather. The mountains will be there next week, next month, next year, and God's love and faithfulness will be there next week, next month, next year, whether snow falls or whether it melts. There's another way of looking at this. After all, the mountains are only created things, and in the end, they too will pass. But the one who made them will not pass. And we'll go on to Psalm 46, where the psalmist says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." Now, do you see what the psalmist is saying? He's using very extreme language about mountains falling into the sea and the earth giving way. But what he is saying is, we can be secure even though the planet around us is in chaos, because the Lord Almighty is with us and he is our fortress. And that is because the Lord has nailed his colours to the mast, as it were, here on this shaking earth. He has a holy place that will not be moved. And that holy place is the city of God and the people of God. It's people like us. Wow. Anybody who says, "God, where are you?" God says, "I'm alive and well in my people. I dwell in them, and they keep drinking from my river." Did you notice? There's a river as a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Isn't it good that we've got the river of the Holy Spirit flowing through us? We can wash in it, we can drink. Is that right, folks?
Yeah.
There are one or two people getting excited about this. There's a river, a plentiful supply for us to make glad the city of God, to make glad a congregation like this, that God is with us. His Holy Spirit isn't suddenly going to call me out, but His Holy Spirit is with us every day to refresh us and renew us. My next question is, what are you seeing? And that should come. There you go. Colin's on the way. What are you seeing? In Psalm 121, which Caroline read to us, it said, I lift my eyes to the hills. So the psalmist is seeing something. Now actually, I'm going to get you to do some work here. This psalm was a song of ascents. A song of pilgrim, the pilgrims chanted as they drew near to Jerusalem and went up, they ascended up to the city. It was a song, they said, to encourage each other. Because getting to Jerusalem, it's a bit of a slog, isn't it, Brian? Yeah, Brian agrees with me. That's good. It's a bit of a slog. There are no 4x4s. There are no Nissan Qashqais. There are no Land Rovers. You had to go on foot. And people started suffering from sore feet. Maybe there was a sick child in the camp. Maybe it was cold at night. I bet it was cold at night. So there were, this was not an easy journey to get to Jerusalem. And as they went, they chanted to each other. They spoke to each other. And they spoke this psalm to each other. So it's a song of ascents. And what I want to do is divide this congregation into two parts. That's part A over there. Everybody over there is part A. Everybody here is part B. And what we're going to we've already got the first screen here, and we can all say that in a minute to each other. But then what I'd like after that is congregation A to say the next screen to congregation B. And if you could sort of, this is a bit difficult because, well, that's right, she was turning, and the idea really is that you actually say it to the people on the other side. Now that's not easy if you've got to look at the screen as well. Maybe somehow, you can have one eye on that and one eye on that, I don't know. So let's say this to each other, and let's mean it to each other. Let's encourage each other by saying this psalm to each other. Don't worry, I'll be here and I will help you after our point, and you'll say a bit on the screen, okay? So let's all say these first two verses together. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This side. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And this side. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Good. Well, I hope that was an encouragement. As we spoke those words of encouragement to each other, it's good to encourage each other, isn't it? And it's something we so easily forget to do. But let's do it. If your destination's up there somewhere, to see it, you have to lift your eyes. I lift my eyes to the hills. If you look down, all you'll see is the ground. Now, I guess that, particularly as you get older, you need a bit of work. You do need to look down the ground because you could easily fall over. So you need to look down the down, but you need to keep your eyes fixed on the goal. And the big question is, where is your focus normally? Where do we look most of the time? Do we lift our eyes to the hills, to the big things, or do we lift our eyes to Sainsbury's and Lidl and television and coffee shop? Where is our focus? What is it that motivates our life? William Wordsworth, the great poet, said, and I think that's the next one, yeah, that's right, the world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. We say something very precious there, I think. There's so much more in each of us. There's a treasure inside us. Let's not allow that treasure to get rusty. I'm going to put a bit of a contradiction in terms, because jewels and things don't get rusty. Let's not allow them to go to waste. Let's use that treasure that's there inside us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. If that's all we're thinking about 24 hours a day, then you know we're missing something, aren't we? Let's listen to one of the most focused men of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who said this. He was a man totally caught up in the life of Jesus. And he said this: I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Heavenward. That's our direction. Christians are people who've been captivated by something. The Son of God come from heaven to sweep us up into his embrace, sweep us up into his heavenly kingdom. Once you've been touched by his love and filled by his spirit, life is never the same again. The price of tea at Sainsbury's may be worth knowing about, but it's nothing compared to this. Heavenward means a new direction in our lives. When you're up in the hills and the mountains, you look down on the villages, the fields, the rivers, the roads, and you see life from a different perspective. You see the bigger picture. And it's that bigger picture that the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 121, when he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And because he's seeing the bigger picture, he can confidently say, he won't let your foot slip. I wonder whether any of you feel my foot's slipping a bit. I'm losing my footing spiritually a bit. Well, look to the maker of heaven and earth if you feel that way. And a little bit later in the psalm, the psalmist says, he who watches over you will not slumber. And Ken was talking earlier on about people going through a tough time. And it's very easy to think, God, where are you? Have you gone to sleep? But the reassurance from this psalm is, God is not asleep. God is really not asleep. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And it's a bigger picture that Paul is seeing in writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, to remind him of what the life of in Christ is all about. And this is Titus chapter 3. Yes, he reminds us really of the bigger picture. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's a rather big picture, isn't it? I think that's any episode of EastEnders would sort of fit that bill pretty well. You only have to see some of the soaps on television to know the kind of life that Paul is talking about. Fortunately, there is a but coming up, isn't there, Colin? But, and you notice I put that in bold, but when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. There's so much to take in there, isn't there? But what Paul is saying is that when the love of God appeared, he opened our eyes to a new world. A new world made possible by his mercy and his grace. Big spiritual forces, unshakable things that are not going to pass away tomorrow. A new world where there's cleansing and renewal and the promise of heaven. Once we were in the pits, and now our eyes are on heaven. We haven't really got time to read that through again, but when you get home, just read that through again and say, this is the place that God has brought me to. This is the dimension I now live in. We are underpinned by his mercy and his grace, where I'm washed by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And having that hope of eternal life. What a privileged place God has brought us to. This leads us on to some other words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, therefore we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Well, I think as you get beyond the age of, what do you think, Ellen, about 65? As you get beyond a certain age, as the French would say, as you get beyond a certain age, things creak a bit, don't they, sometimes? Things aren't quite what they used to be. But my eyesight definitely has faded a bit in recent years, and not quite what it was. But even though outwardly we're wasting away, our body is declining, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. So it's the inward things that are things that really count. And then in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, Paul says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now you might say, how can you fix these things, these eyes, on something you can't see? You can't see. I think what Paul means is we fix our attention, our gaze, on those things that are not seen, the inner things, the things that make all the difference, the mercy and the grace of God, the love of God, and faith, and things like that inside us. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what is seen, our crumbling bodies, our trials and tribulations, but what is unseen is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And finally, how are you seeing the world? Nice though it would be to stay in the hills, we have to go down into the world. We can't stay in Scotland all the time, Jimmy, can we? We have to go down into the world to bring the news of our gentle King to our friends and neighbours and family. On one occasion, Jesus was talking to a young man called Nathanael. You can read his story in John chapter 1. It's an amazing story of an encounter with Jesus, who knew more about him than he almost knew himself. And in John chapter 1 verse 51, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And so Jesus is portraying himself there as a kind of ladder between heaven and earth. Now, if you know your Old Testament, you'll know that a man called Jacob, who was on a journey, lay down to sleep one night, put a stone under his head as a pillow. I bet that's a bit hard. And saw a dream of a ladder reaching to heaven with angels going up and coming down on it. So Jesus is saying, I'm the stairway. I'm the bridge between heaven and earth. Communication both ways happens through me. Big question coming up. Has anybody here ever walked over a rope bridge? One or two people. What? Alan, you have? Yeah, good. What was it like? Would you say a bit scary? Alan's not committing himself, but yeah. I think if you walk over a rope bridge, you could get a bit scared. Because this thing wobbles and moves. And you think, I could end up down there. So, and it's swaying in the wind as well. Not just swaying because of you, but it's swaying. Sheila's very bananas. It's swaying in the wind as well. And you look at the ropes and you think, are they going to hold? And sometimes I think the life of faith is a bit like walking on a rope bridge. It's not, I don't think it's like going over the Queen Elizabeth Bridge at Dartford. But I think it's rather more like being on a rope bridge. As we look down at the chaos and the temptation in the world around us, we could get giddy. But fortunately, the rope's hold with our faith is stronger. And the bridge, anyway, is the work of God, who said that his power is made perfect in power, weakness. And for me, I think that's the way it has to be, that being on the rope bridge, I feel secure because I know the ropes are going to hold because God has put the bridge together, but I'm not untouched and I'm not unmoved by what's going on in the world around me. I'm not immune to the world around me. Individually and collectively, we are the stairway between heaven and earth because we are Christ to this world. In all we say and do, we reflect the life of Jesus, the King who doesn't talk to us from the unscalable heights of Mount Everest or even Mount Sinai, but from the gentle slopes of a hillside near Galilee. And there he talks to us, not about a law that exposes our weakness, but a way of life that turns the world upside down, where the poor in spirit, those who are broken inside, own the kingdom of heaven, where the meek inherit the earth, where the merciful take the lead, where the peacemakers will be called the sons of God. Was there ever a better gospel than this? I can't think of it. I've never met one. Together with him and with each other, we can do this. And make no mistake, the message that we embody is a radical message. It goes to the root of our thinking and behaviour. I was reading the paper the other day, actually, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, was preaching in New York, and I just want to read out to you one or two of the things that he said, because I was grabbed by these. He said, the message of Jesus is so radical that it could be mistaken for a call to violent revolution were it not for its emphasis on peaceful means. He then went on to say, Jesus does not permit us to accept a society in which the weak are excluded. He then went on to say, he told the congregation that Christians need to be involved to get our hands dirty. And he said that all too often, churches just circle the wagons to keep the enemy out. God forbid that we should ever be like that. He also said, were it not for the fact that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and lived out his mission in service and foot washing, ending in crucifixion and resurrection, this could be a call to violent revolution. I think Mr. Welby's got something. You know, Jesus' gospel is a radical gospel. It turns the world upside down, and we're here to embody that. So I wonder how you're seeing the world. Are you seeing it as a hostile place to be avoided? Or as an opportunity to show love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, to be peacemakers, to be Jesus in this world, to bring the King of Heaven into the experience of those around us, to be the stairway between heaven and earth. If you think that's a bit daunting, let's just go on to the next scripture. If you think that's a bit daunting, Jesus helps us to be undaunted. He gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So I think what that verse is saying is, we are not on our own. Jesus is with us, and we can say that we do what we see our Saviour doing. He is the one who leads us. He is the one who guides us. Let us be so sensitive to his leading that we go where he wants us to go, and do what he wants us to do, and say what he wants us to say, and care for those he wants us to care for. And let us do that as God leads. Just a reminder of some ways in which you can get your hands dirty in waiting. This is not exclusive list by any means, but just one or two things. The Warehouse Centre, the Bar and Bus, the Tottenham Centre, Hope Works. These are places where Christians are getting in there in society. Think about those. Let us do that as God leads. And we'll go back to Psalm 121, and just to reassure us, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that's our anchor, folks, isn't it? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you watch over each one of your children. I thank you, Lord, that you're not asleep. You don't slumber or sleep, but you watch over us. I thank you, Lord, for this world-changing message of Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to refresh us every day. And I thank you, Lord, for the challenge of your call to minister into this world around us, this shaking world around us, this difficult world around us. Lord, I pray we'll be so sensitive to your leading and your calling that we'll get our hands dirty in the ways that you want us to. So bless us, Lord, I pray, and help us to keep that right sense of perspective, looking to you, the one who is beyond the hills and beyond the mountains. In your name, Jesus. Amen.